Okay, so we're doing a new topic. Okay, so basically we're going to take up some Rambam's Ravids on Machteras. Okay, so I guess we'll start with the first one. Okay, and I'm not really sure if we should do them all together, or maybe we'll just go through pshat of all of them. But I think we can have to take them one at a time. But anyways, the first one's the big one. The last ones are kind of smaller, anyways. Okay, so let's see. So the Rambam says like this. This is in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Tes, Halacha Ches. Okay. So it says Ve'echad Habav Machteras, and whether he breaks into the house, O Ganav Shnimsa B'Silch Gago Shaladam, or he's found on the guy's roof.
Which
Ches 8. 9-8. Okay. Oh, b'sil chatzir, or if he's found in his courtyard. Oh, b'sil karpifor, in his alleyway. Bein b'yom, bein b'layla. Whether it's the daytime, whether it's nighttime. Okay, the same halacha applies, that basically you could kill him. Okay. V'loma nemar machteras, so why does the Torah say if you find him breaking in, if it's not really only breaking in, it could even be if he's on the roof or in the courtyard, all right? Nefisha, derechor avganav, v'loma machteras, b'layla. Because that's a normal case that most people break in, most of the Ganos break into the house at night. 20 says Balayla. Right? So it doesn't say Balayla, right?
Is that from the Gemara or no?
The Gemara? Yeah, the Gemara does say that, right? Yeah, the Gemara says, they don't say Laila part. The Laila part isn't. The Laila part isn't, but the Machteras part is. Rav Ganamitsu and Machteras, I think the Gemara says that. Fine. So okay, because that's Rambam. So basically, the halacha is that it applies day or night, and whether he's breaking in or he's on your roof or he's on your right in your courtyard. Because either way, the case is the assumption is the guy's going to kill you. The guy's going to kill you. Fine, and since he's ready to kill you, so you have the right to kill him. Okay. Let's hold on. Here. Okay. So now the Ravid. Okay, so the Ravid says. Amar Avraham, any nimna milachtov is daiti. Generally, I'm not going to hold back from writing my mind, which seems to me, afal pishadashu chachamim. Even though the chachamim, the Gemara really learns differently, okay. But I'm going to write what I think. Okay, I'm not going to hold back. Okay, and the pasuk says, imzarcha afal pishadashu chachamim imzarcha Hashem es olav derech mashal. And Barlacha Dover Kishemesh, Labalas Kinefashos Vechule. Okay. So here's the deal. So the Pasuk says, let me read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says is that if the thief is found breaking in, you find the thief breaking in, and you hit him, and he dies, so, Ein Lo Damim. There's no death penalty. Okay, you're off the hook. But if the sun shines upon him, then he does have value. His life has value. In other words, if you kill him, you're going to be Chayv Misa. So what does it mean if the sun shines on him? The Gemara says, what do you mean? The sun shines on him, the sun doesn't shine on anyone else? What does that even mean? So it says, the sun shines on him means if it's clear to you as day, like the sun is shining, if it's clear as day, that the guy is not going to kill, that this thief who broke in is your father, and you know he's definitely not going to kill you, so then you'd have no right to kill him. Okay, and if you do, then you're going to be killed. You're chayv misa for killing him. Okay? So Mzorcha Hashem HaShalav, it literally means if the sun shines on him, Chazal say it's like an expression. It just means if it's clear as day. It's clear as day. What? That he's not going to kill you. So the Ravid says, okay, Chazal say that. That's very nice. But he says, bottom line is, afal pikein ein mikayotz in depshuto. Right? But you can't take a pasuk at a simple pshat. What's a simple pshat in the pasuk? What does it mean? It's not talking about if it's clear as day. I mean, you read the pasuk. That's not what it means. So what then does it mean, the Ravid says? He says, bayom. Okay, the simple shot means imzarcha shemesh alav, if the sun shines on him, which means if it's daytime, right, that's what it means. If the sun shines on him, it means if it's daytime, then you can't kill him. Then you can't kill him. That's the shot in the pasuk, right? So what's the idea? So he explains. He says bayom you can't kill him. Shein ganav b'bayom el hashmata. The guy who comes during daytime is there to escape. Shomer uboreach miyad. He slips away and runs away right away. He's not there to steal a big sum of money and to stand up against the you know, against the owner to kill him. Elaganav Balaila. Right? Rather, that's what a ganav at night does. A thief at night doesn't. It's a ganav Balaila Yadesh Balbayas Balbayas. He knows that the homeowner is home. He's coming there to kill. He got killed. Avaganav Yom in Balbayas Matzah Bebeso. Right? But a guy who does it in the daytime, the guy's not home usually. Vishimutu Almo, he's just going to grab something and run. Right? He's just got the nature of the thing. A guy who comes during the daytime, the guy's not home. He's not looking to have a confrontation. On the contrary, he's just looking to get what he can and run. It's a quick grab. He knows the guy's probably, likely the guy's not around. He's going to grab something and run. So that guy's not ready to kill. In fact, if the guy confronts him or whatever, he'll run. Maybe he'll grab a quick thing, he'll run right out. It's not a confrontation. But if you break in at nighttime, you know the guys are home at night. What else is going on? The guy's at home at night. So you're bringing in at night, it means you're basically ready to have a confrontation and you're ready to kill him. And if he's going to stand up and kill you, so you're ready to basically kill the guy and take all his money. V'chayi roshi kol mevin dai lo v'za. And he says all I could say is that anyone who understands, this should be enough. In other words, even though he's addressing the fact that Chazal don't say this. Chazal really say they learn the pasuk to be like a metaphor. You know, if the sun shines on him. But I mean, anyone who is anyone who just thinks about this can realize this is a perfectly clear way to read the pasuk. And why do we have to start learning the pasuk to mean this funny thing if there's a simple shot in the pasuk? Simple shot in the pasuk means it was daytime. And it's daytime. Now, maybe you'll say, look, Chazal could say the Torah could have just openly written if it's daytime, so it could be maybe Chazal are saying is since it wrote it in this funny way, it lends itself to be interpreted to teach you an additional halacha. But he says you can't just take the pshat. Pasuk has to have pshat, has to have a simple meaning. So the simple meaning means if it's daytime, and it makes perfect sense. So I don't know why the Ram didn't write it, or Chazal didn't write it, but it's clear that's if you just read a pasuk. If anyone knows to read a pasuk, you just look at the thing, and so clearly that's what the pasuk is saying, and that's halacha. And therefore, the Rambam, why is the Rambam saying that it's whether it's nighttime and daytime? Why should you have to say that, right? Presumably the way the Rav is learning is simple shan the pasuk means it was day. But the pasuk didn't say, it didn't say if the sun shines. It says if the sun shines on him. So the Gemara says, does the sun only shine on him? Well, if you want to describe day by saying the sun shining, fine. But if the sun shines on him, but the sun only shines on him, so it means, no, it must be something special about him. So it means if you know about him that he's not going to kill because he's a father, then, you know. So it could be from the word Allah, like on him. The Ravid says the Gemara is interpreting this new halacha, father something. But he doesn't mean the Gemara ever meant to knock out the Simchat on the Pasuk, which means if it's daytime, that's what it means. And it's a perfectly good Svara. He says, you'll say, what's the Svara? This is what's day, night, who cares? No, it's a very good Svara. Because the guy at the daytime isn't coming to kill. The guy at nighttime is coming to kill. The guy at daytime is hoping no one's home. Right. Now, what would you say? Does the Rambam read the pasuk this way? Like, I mean, well, the Ravid has a good question. He's like, what's pshat in the pasuk? I mean, that's pshat in the pasuk. You know what I mean? Is the Rambam just going to say, yeah? That is pshat. Like, oh, it's kashas. That's the general rule. Is that you never take a pasuk out of some pshat. So I don't know, would Ram say no, that is from the Pasuk, or is he going to agree with Rav that that's the way to read the Pasuk?
I have an unorthodox
answer. That's a good point the Rav is making. I mean, that's the Rav is, I don't know what the Ram's going to answer to that. But the Rav, I mean, this is why it's like a very interesting Rav. He doesn't usually write like this. He's writing like, he says, I'm not going to hold back from writing what I think, even though I know Chazal say this thing, and Chazal never mentioned anything like what the Rav says. He says, I'm not going to write it anymore. I'm not going to hold back because this is clear. And then he says, I can't understand this, but anyone who has knowledge, this is enough. It doesn't mean this is enough. It means even though there's no source on it, anyone who has knowledge, is how else are you going to read? It's just, this is clear that what's going on. So it's like, he realizes that no one says this, but he's like, I don't know why. It's like he discovered this thing that is just no one found. Mars didn't find for some reason, and Ram didn't find. So I don't know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know, we have to learn this machloka, so we have to try to figure out. But it is a good question the Ravid's asking, is that, are you telling me that's pshat in the pasuk? That's pshat in the pasuk? Well, how does Tirgum say? Zorach Hashem Eshalav. It's interesting. It says, "Im Eina Disahadaya Nafalas Alavi." If the eyes of the witnesses fall upon him, he says, "Witnesses see him." That's the next halacha in the Rama. And if witnesses see him, then you know he's not going to kill. So that's what it means. "Im Zorach Hashem Eshalav" means if the sun shines on him, it means that if it's clear, it's being witnessed. That's a little better, Imshan. Sun shines on him, it means if he's seen. He's seen. Sun shines on him, it means like he's noticed. And once he's noticed, then it doesn't apply anymore. And the Rambam has that. Because he says, then you know the guy's not going to kill anymore. Because he's already caught, he's not going to be able to pull it off. So now he's not going to do it, he's not going to kill anymore. So it could be made the Rambam, and that's Pshan the Pasuk. Maybe that's what I learned Pshan the Pasuk is. You know, but not that it's only daytime or nighttime. Maybe it could be daytime also. No one sees him. Yeah, that's a hard kind of question, how the Ram read the Pasuk. I see Tirgum learns differently. So, it's funny, because I don't know if that's a Gemara either, if the witnesses see him. Right? Doesn't even hold by that, I think, right? That's he doesn't really like that, right? It's not clear exactly. Okay, fine. The Rebbe addresses that later. Okay, fine. So let's leave it alone. Okay, so the basic facts. Again, if you're confused a little bit, so here's the basic punchline. Is that the Rambam says that Machteres is whether he comes nighttime or daytime. Either way, the halacha is that we assume the guy's going to kill you, and therefore you can kill him. The Rebbe says it's not true. During the day, a guy is stealing. He's not coming for a confrontation. He thinks that no one's home. People usually aren't home during the day. He's coming to try to take something and run. But he says that when it comes at nighttime, the guy is obviously home. Everyone's home at night. So he's ready to kill. He's ready for a confrontation, ready to kill. So therefore, you kill him. Right, you kill him. So that's why the Rambam apparently doesn't know that. He doesn't know day and night, saying Allah. So if you had to analyze it, any problems? Or just with that, I'm not looking for a svara yet, but any problems with this machlokas? Any questions on the machlokas? Right. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it is a problem. The problem is it sounds like a factual question. I mean, the Ravid saying is that anyone who could, when you rob during the day, you're not coming to kill. Right? Okay. And the Rambam says, no, you come during the day, you're coming to kill. Right? I mean, is that, doesn't this whole thing depend, and the Rambam knows that if you know the guy's not coming to kill, the Rambam agrees, for instance, if you come in the garden, or in some place where people usually aren't found, the Rambam says the halacha doesn't apply. Because then you know the guy's not going to kill. Right? So then why isn't daytime the same thing as that? Right? I mean, that's the Rebbe's argument. Rebbe's argument is the same thing. So, I mean, that's the basic problem here, right? I mean, what are the facts here? How do you have this argument? How are they arguing like this, you know? Okay, so let's leave the question. Let's go further. Okay? I mean, there's some more Rebbe's. Let's just get some shot, okay? So now it's like this. Halacha Yud. Right, Tess is basically where he explains the logic behind behind Machteres, why you could kill him. Right, Cheskaser, okay, fine. He says, "Haydover Baral Balav Yud." Haydover Baral Yud says, "Agan of a Baalav, Eino Argo." It was clear to the owner that this guy's not going to kill him. Below Baal, let's get Mamon, and you know he's only coming to steal money. Also, Argo, you can't kill him. Vim Argo, Harzehu Reg Nefesh. And if you do kill him, you're a murderer. Okay, Shneimim Zorcha Hashem Shalav. What does it mean? The sun shines on him. In bar lecha davar kishemesh. If it's clear to you, like the sun, sheyishol shalom imcha, al targeu. Like he has peace with you, don't kill him. The fikach, therefore, av abav imachter asal bino. If a father breaks in on his son, eno neharag. He's not killed. Shevade eno hargo. He's definitely not going to kill him. Aval ben aval aviv neharag. But a son breaking into his father is killed because maybe he will kill him. Fine. V'chein. Okay, v'chein haganav sheganav, and this is what the Ravid's on. Also, a ganav who steals v'yatza, and he leaves. Okay, he leaves the house. Oh, shelo ganav umatza yotzei min hamachteres, or he doesn't steal anything, but you find him running out. You find him on his way out. So now he's no longer ready to have a confrontation and to kill you. He's not. He's leaving. He left. He's leaving. Right? Ha'olu pana oref. Since once he turns his back. If he ain't a rodef, and he's no longer a rodef, he's no longer going to pursue to kill. Yesh l'damen, so he has life. Okay, and one more. V'cheini mi'kifu edim. of an adam, or if witnesses or people surround him, even though he's still in your property, in an erag, right? Presumably because he's not going to do it anymore. Once he's surrounded by witnesses, he's not going to kill anymore. Well, the thing is, he's not going to do it because he knows the ones who witness are going to witness him, and they're going to bring him to Bezin, and Bezin's going to kill him for a murder. Right? Certainly, if he really comes into Bezin, he's not going to, he can't kill him anymore, because now for sure he's not going to kill. Okay? It's funny altogether what he's talking about, why he's bringing that, but let's leave that out. Okay, so again, on the cases, again, the Ram says that once the guy turns around, then you're pater. Okay, then you can no longer kill him. Once he turns around left, or he's leaving, right? Once he turns his back. So it says, Amar Avraham, the Ravid says, V'yirali boreach ratzalomer. It seems to me that it's talking about if he runs away. Okay? What does he mean? You know, I gotta figure out what he means, Pshat?
Yeah, that he's turning back is not sufficient.
Right. Exactly. It's not enough if he just turns around. He has to be like running away. It's not enough. So, like what I'm saying is all he does do is turn his back. Once he turns his back, he can be in your house. Turns his back, that's it. He says, no, that's not true. That doesn't do it. The Ravid saying is he has to be on the run. He has to really be running away. Just for him turning his back alone, that's not sufficient. Okay, so that's the second machlokes in Ram and Ravid. Okay, first one is the night day, and now it's the running away. So again, I think we have a similar problem between the Ram and the Ravid. Is the guy running away, right? So, is the guy, when he turns his back, I mean, what's the issue here? Presumably, why is the Rambam saying that there's no machtaras here anymore? Why can't you kill him once he turns his back? Presumably because the guy's not going to kill anymore. Right? I mean, he's not going to kill. He's not breaking in anymore. He's on his way out. So why is the Ravid saying that he has to actually start running away? I mean, she'll say, I don't know, maybe he will kill. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe, right? It's not clear. But, I mean, how could you have an argument here? I mean, shouldn't this be, again, based upon the facts? Is this still the danger of Machtara still here? Is the danger of Machtara not still here? Right? So maybe you'll say, well, if he didn't run away, maybe the guy, the homeowner, is going to start chasing him, and then he's going to come around and kill him, right? So then, doesn't Ram know that? Like, you know, either, like, however you can make this scenario, I mean, shouldn't it boil down to the factual question is, will he kill or will he not kill? How do you have a question? Like, what's this whole issue? What's the difference if he's running away or he just turns his back? I mean, who cares? Okay? So far, so good? Okay, and then you have the third Ravid. This is the case where the witnesses surround him. Okay? So it says, it says like this. So, Amar Avraham, Zeh she'amru b'mechilta, the Rabbi Ishmael. So this, the Rambam, is coming from the source. The positive says, in the Mechilta, she'im yesh l'moshiyim, she'ein onitim l'harig. That if he has savers, people to save him, then you can't kill him. So it means that there are people around who are there to save him. So that's the way the Rambam's interpreting. That means if there are witnesses there, then you can't kill him. The kasha l'imaisa de'avner ve'asoyal. So the question, I mean, to me is the story of Avner and Asael. I mean, okay, you can look at the story, but basically it seems like the Ravid say that this story, which the Gemara brings in, is an instance of Rodef, and yet it seems there are people around from the Avner and Asael, so if that's the case, so this is a question on this theory. Okay, how's what I'm learning this? The Gemara there, it's against the Gemara. Okay, so we'll trust, and it's a good question, let's leave that alone. Okay, he says, V'umasha amar mikifu ha'idim. And the fact that the Rambam is saying if the witnesses surround him, right? Because the Brisa just says if he has savers, well, where does he get witnesses surrounding him? Yerali ki al derech targum amru. It seems to me the Rambam got this from the Tirgum. Munkulas she tirgame im ena de sadayin naflos alohi. So he says because the Tirgum says if the sun shines on him, the Tirgum explains the comment, you know, the translation says if the eyes of witnesses fall upon him. Okay, so it means the sun shines on him is an allusion to he's visible. So that's the way the Targum says it means if the witnesses, if the witnesses are there. But I don't understand that. I don't know what it means. I don't understand that the Ravid saying. So apparently he's saying that's what the Targum says, but I don't understand that. It's funny. I guess the Ravid could have understood if it meant if he has savers, people are there to save him, right? Save the near death. Right, but he says the way, apparently he doesn't like the Rambam saying is do with witnesses. Right, because it sounds at first he says it's from the Mechilta. You know, I'm not really sure though, because it's Kasha anyways. It seems like he doesn't like the whole thing because of the story from Avner and Asa. But either way, I mean, he certainly doesn't like this Rambam. Okay, he certainly doesn't like this halacha. Just because there are witnesses there, then the halacha doesn't apply. Okay? Maybe he's willing to accept if there are savers. I mean, because the Rambam's changing from the thing, just as people saving him, and then the Rambam's saying if there are witnesses. It's not exactly the point, it's because they're going to save him. It seems to be it's because the guy's not going to kill anymore. But again, the problem is I mean, we have to think into this thing. But the same type of problem is that, I mean, if there are witnesses there, is the Machteris going to kill, or is he not going to kill? Presumably, the way we would have understood the Rambam is that once there are witnesses witnessing the thing, he's not going to kill because he knows he's going to be brought to court and brought to justice. So the guy got to be crazy. I mean, you're trying to steal money, and there are witnesses here, and you're going to get caught. You're going to be killed, so then how could, you know? So then what's the Rabbit's problem with that? I mean, why is the Rabbit having a hard time with that? Is that so difficult to understand? Sounds like, yeah, he doesn't understand that. I mean, what doesn't he understand? He says, the Tirgum seems to say this, but I don't understand what it means. What do you mean I understand what it means? It's pretty easy to understand. Presumably, it means he doesn't agree with that, right? That's what it means. He doesn't understand that. He can't fathom how this could be, right? I mean, so it sounds like, so I don't know what's so difficult. Sounds like he disagrees. He holds it's not true. Who cares if they're witnesses? Witnesses don't help anything. So why not? Why not? I mean, will the guy not kill anymore? Or the rabbi saying, no, he'll still kill? So again, it's another factual question. Right?
It's also funny that...
Right? That's true. I mean, his point out good is they don't line up exactly. It's not like the Rambam is more lenient and the rabbi is less, more strict on the relief. It's not true. They don't line up. Because, for instance, in the first one, the day and night... Right, the Machteras, the Leonite, so the Ravid is more lenient on the Machteras. Right? He says you don't kill him if it's daytime. So the Ravid is more lenient. But when it comes to the case of running away, he's more strict on the Machteras, because he's saying you can kill the Machteras as long as he doesn't run away. So he's more strict. And also the witnesses surrounding him, he says you can still kill him. So he's more strict. So it's not like, you know, somehow you'd think maybe approaching this thing by lenient, strict, you know, distinction or something. So whatever, something like that. At least you find some way to go like that. Right? But it doesn't quite work out. Right? I mean, I don't necessarily know that you have to say these are all one big mahokas, you know? I mean, it could be it is, could be it isn't. I mean, but I guess if you see three things, your mind sometimes goes towards that, you know? But I think we're better off. I think we're better off trying to just, at least for it's very hard to think about three things at the same time. Right? I'm not sure if it's possible. So I think we should start off with the first thing. Okay? And, I mean, you could do is you could jump. I mean, having three things is good because you could kind of, you know, think about one thing and then jump and then maybe use the other thing to help you out and like that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, you got to focus on one thing. Right? You know, you have these in the back of your mind, and maybe you could, whatever, pull them out of your pocket if you need them, or whatever. If you decide you get really frustrated with one of them, then you start thinking about the other one, and then until you get, you know, sometimes you get caught that way, because then you never end up putting enough energy into one problem. So let's just focus on the first one, right? The night and day. Night and day, right? Okay. So I want to take this approach along the path that Yehuda's gone. I want to go further with it, though. But I want to start with a different question, okay? Question is, we talked about this a little bit, but way back when. But the question is where the Rambam places the halachos of Machteras, okay? Where the Rambam places the halachos of Machteras? Because if you were writing the Rambam, where would you think those halachos would go? Machteras. I mean, what's... Rodef, right? You think they'd go together with Rodef, right? I mean, isn't Machteras a kind of Rodef? Right? I mean, it's simple shot. I mean, it's a kind of Rodef. Right? You have Rodef, and that's why we've been learning these sugyas, right? You have sugya Rodef, you have sugya Machteras, right? I mean, they're parallel sugyas. I mean, Machteras is a guy who isn't yet a Rodef, but he's going to be a Rodef, right? I mean, it seemed like there are two, the Rambam and the Rambam. It's surprising when you first start learning the Rambams, you realize that they're in two totally different places. Rodef is in Rosef Trinos and Afash, murderers, right? The halacha is about murdering, right? And Machteras is in Hilchos Geneva, right? In Hilchos Geneva, which is in halachas of robbers. I mean, is it really the halacha of robbers? I mean, it's really a halacha of killers. It just happens to be that this is, you know. So I'm thinking, and we said something like this, but that according to the Rambam, see, you can't really include machteras in Rotzeach Shemesh Nefesh, in Rodef. And for the simple reason, because he's not a Rodef. Okay, because a Rodef is a guy who's actually endangering the life of a victim. He's chasing somebody, and that invokes the din of Shemesh Nefesh, of saving the victim. Okay, there's actually a chase, there's actually a danger. There's actually a halacha of Hatzalah, of saving the victim, and you save the victim at all costs. But in Machteres, there is no victim. There's no chase. There's just a guy who's breaking into a house and who's stealing. Okay, that's all there is. He's just a ganav. Yeah, he will be. He will be a rodef later, but right now he's not, and that's not a rodef. So what the Torah said is that this type of ganav, this type of thief, the Torah defined as an ein lo damim. Give him a status of an ein lo damim. Okay, he's a dead man, and thereby allowed you to kill him, and thereby prevented the eventual chase which is going to take place. But it's not halachically. That's like, so to speak, the tam adavar. The reason behind it is because of the rodef which will take place. But it's not actually rodef, and can't be categorized halachically as rodef. But what makes the sugya of machteras tick is the shem geneva. It's a type of geneva. Okay, it's a type of geneva, which is a ganav, like a murderous ganav. A ganav is a baalis kedamim. Type, it's a class, it's a subcategory of geneva, of a ganav in the rishus of the nirdaf. You know, in the presence of the baal. I'm sorry, in the presence of the baal bayis. A ganav in the house, in the household, and the property of the baal bayis is defined as a certain type of a geneva. It's a confrontational ganav or whatever it is, and that type of ganav is Torah defined as an adamim and allowed you to kill him. And this is consistent with other things we said. That's why, you know, there's no halacha that you try to take out a limb. I mean, there are different halachas that went along with this. That it's not, there's no actual chase yet. And that's why, for instance, there's no chiv to stop the machteras. So you went by a road there where there's actually a chase, you have to save the victim. But if there is no victim, there's no chiv to save the victim. It's just Torah gave a status of an adamim on a ganav, a certain type of a ganav. Okay, so far so good? Now, assuming that's the case, you kind of get stuck. Or it's not so simple now. Because you can't, the halachos, the details of the system of machteras, have to fit into the halachos of Geneva. Okay, they have to fit into the halachos of Geneva. Right? They have to fit into the halachos of Geneva. So, for instance, just think for a second. Let me take the easiest one. Okay, I know I said we didn't do the first question, but I'm going to the second one. Okay? So let's say when he turns around. Okay? When he turns around. So he turns around, the Ram says, that's it. That's it, right? But the Ravid says the guy could still kill him unless he runs away. Right? Unless he runs away. So the thing is like this, is maybe according to the Rambam, see, here's the point. It's like, let's say you'd have a case of a guy who would be the same logic, the same psychology as Machteras, but technically he wasn't the Ganav. Okay? He severed his shame Ganav. Let's say by turning around. That's what I'm saying. But according to the Rambam, once he turns around, he's not a Ganav anymore. Why is he a Ganav? It means he's in the process of stealing. Once he turns his back, he's walking out, he's not a Ganav anymore. He's not involved in Geneva. He stops his Geneva. So now you'll say, but maybe he's going to kill anyways. Maybe, even though he's still in the guy's house, the guy's going to say, hey, you! And he's ready to turn around and he's going to go and kill him. Right? I mean, there's still a danger. Psychologically, I mean, the Ganav, the Baal Bayis, let's say he stole the thing, he has the goods in his hands. The Baal Bayis may say, hey, you, I'm going to get you. And then what's the guy going to do now? So now he'll probably go turn around and kill him. Right? So practically speaking, it could still eventuate, and he's still ready to, in theory, he's still ready to kill the guy if there's a confrontation. The guy is still ready, I mean, he's still in the house, for instance, he just turned his back, he's holding the guy's TV. You know, the guy says, hey, you, what's he going to do? So in theory, he's ready to go.
still a ganav?
Oh. He's still a ganav? Well, ganav means like he's in... I'm sorry. He says, Ram says, like, if he stole and he already left, he has two cases. He stole and he already left the house. Or if you catch him, he didn't steal, and you find him walking out of the house. You know, in the middle of leaving the house. So it could be his arms hold. Once you leave the house, you're not a ganav anymore. I mean, the project is over. I mean, it's true, you're an owner. I mean, you may be like, in terms of tshuva, you're a ganav. Your personality, you're a ganav. But the ganav is over. Once you get out of that house, you're not a ganav anymore. You stole it. If you stole it, you're a kenyan, you're a to get out of his house, you're not a ganav anymore. Or, if you're in his house, but you don't take anything, so as long as you're still looking for something, you're still ganav, you're involved in the process of ganeva. But if you don't have anything in your hands, and you turn your back, so then you're not a ganav anymore. Okay, you're not a ganav anymore. But in theory, I'm saying is, according to the Rambam, still, there could be a confrontation. Practically speaking, there still could be a confrontation, and the guy could still kill you. And therefore, there's still a chashash that the Baal Bayis is still going to get upset. Let's say he's right outside the front door. So technically, he's not a ganav anymore. Right? But he has your TV. So now the Baal Bayis is going to say, hey, you, he's going to chase you, you're going to kill him. Right? So what I'm saying is that, so the practicality of a machteras is still there. Is it still dangerous, and the guy could still kill. He may still kill. But he's not a ganav anymore. Okay? And the Rambam is learning that the only way the Torah was able to formulate the halachas of machteras is by recognizing a type of a ganav. So it's contingent upon his shame ganav. It's contingent upon his identity as a thief. And therefore, the second his identity as a thief goes away, even if factually you'll say it's still a danger and it may result in killing, and he would be, he's a future Rodev, it doesn't matter, but the thing is, the shame is over. The shame ganav is over, and therefore it loses its steam. And you can't kill him anymore. See, the Ravid's learning, once he's running away, the Ravid's not holding this. Okay, the Ravid's not holding that has to have a shame ganav. Okay, I'll have to get to the Ravid. But he's learning is, listen, that's the Ravid's problem. He just walks out the door. So he's walking, strolling out the door. It's still dangerous. If the guy's on a run, he's running away, that's it, it's over. There's no danger anymore. The guy can't confront him. There's no killing. There's no anything. Nothing's happening. But the guy simply turns his back, or the guy is in the house and he just turns his back, or the guy walks out of the house with your stuff. You can't say the danger situation of Rodef is gone the second that happens. It's only if he runs away. Then already, then I understand he runs away. It's all over. The whole situation is over. He's on his way out. He's left. He's gone. So the Rambam, but the Rambam who holds that the whole Geneva, the whole halacha of machteres is like a subcategory, a type of Geneva. The second he loses the shame ganav, so the whole thing falls apart. See, the Ravid's not learning that way. The Ravid's learning that machteres is simply like a subcategory of rodef. It's like the Torah is recognizing like a future rodef. What he's saying is it's like giving him a status of a rodef prior to him being a rodef. You know, prior to the actual chase. He's not. I'm saying is the Ravid's not. I mean, we have to see further in the Ravid, but the Ravid's not learning that it like it has to fit into Hilchos Geneva. Ganav is just it's the Torah's, it's an objective situation which the Torah is recognizing as a Rodef which is about to happen. It's like the Rodef is about to happen, and therefore the Torah doesn't have to be built on the principles of the Halacha of Geneva. It's the Torah is recognizing like a. Of course it's a ganav, but if a ganav, it's the factual situation of a thief. It's not the halachic identity of ganeva. It's a guy who's robbing your house is a guy who's ready to kill. And therefore the Torah is saying is that guy's nailed down. So as long as he's still that guy who's ready to kill, it's just an instance of Rodef, which the Torah is recognizing. But it doesn't have to fit in technically with the structure of the category of Hilchos Geneva. It doesn't matter if he technically has a shame ganav anymore. He's a thief. It doesn't matter. Is he technically? No, the situation of a theft is a guy who steals from your house is a situation where you recognize that there's a dangerous situation, and as long as that danger still exists, the danger still exists, and therefore you could kill the guy. You know what I mean? What the Rambam is going to say is, I don't care if the danger exists. The danger exists, but is only recognized insofar as it's a type of a ganav which has this danger. Once he loses his shame as a ganav, then the whole thing falls apart. You with me so far? Okay, so I guess we have more problems to answer, right? So maybe you guys could think about trying to answer the first one and the third one. Okay, I think the third one is a little easier. Third one, I think, it might be similar to the second one. I think, but the first one I think is still not so easy. We still need some moves to get together to do the first one. Yeah. Also, you get to think about if at some point maybe after answering this question, we also should think about that halacha again if the rocks fall on him. That's like we said. Remember, according to the Rambam, once the rocks fall on him, he's not a ganav anymore. Remember that? Once he's under the pile of rubble, he's not a ganav anymore. So therefore, the whole thing doesn't apply, right? Okay. And the Ravid also will be able to explain that, right? Because once the rocks fall on him, there's no danger either. The rocks are on top of them, right? So according to both of them, whichever way you learn here, that's fine, right? But we'll think about that again. So, but I mean, the main thing is, I guess, they try to deal with the third case, which is the witnesses, where he's being witnessed, and then also with the first one, the night and day. Night and day is still, I think, it's still not so simple. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see about this. I'm not sure about this, but I would conjecture. I mean, we have to do the rest of the Ram Ravids here, but I would conjecture that if had the Ravid been writing Hilchos, a book like this, he would have put Machteres with Rodef. Okay, he wouldn't have put in Hilchos Geneva. I mean, I'm not. It's hard to really say those kind of things, but I'm trying to illustrate my point. Okay, the main idea here. You know, the main idea here is that according to the Rambam, it's a subcategory of Geneva. It can't find itself halachically. He's not a Rodef. He's gonna be, but gonna be is gonna be. It's not a halacha. So the way it's a halacha is because it's a subcategory of Geneva, and therefore it's in Geneva. The second he's not a ganav, it can't be. It doesn't work. But according to the Ravid, then the Ravid's still not learning that. So he's learning it's really just an instance. Machteres is an instance of a rodef where look, in theory, you know a guy would kill, according to the Ravid, look, you knew he would kill, you know he's going to kill, but you can't objectify it. The Torah objectified it in the case of ganav. Case of Machteres, but it doesn't have to be under the technical structure of a Geneva.